This is day two after receiving the Pfizer COVID vaccination. You guys asked me to keep you updated, so here we go. Last night was absolutely horrendous. Cold sweats all night long. Then around 3 a.m. the body aches started. I still had a pounding headache. I woke up and took a hot shower and tried to go to work. But it turns out I had a fever too. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm just gonna be 100% honest. Today has been absolutely horrific. I can't get off the couch. My ex had to keep my son tonight because I can't move. No energy, body and joint pain like to the max. Super nauseous. All I can eat right now is soup and popsicles. Obviously my arm is still sore, but that's not really a big deal to me right now. I heard day two is the worst, so I'm looking forward to feeling better tomorrow. But I'll of course post again and keep y'all updated. Stay safe.
Don't need a mask. The mask is about compliance because they know Canadians like to do what they're told. So if they tell you you have to wear a mask, next they're going to tell you you have to contact trace. Then they're going to tell you you have to take the vaccine. And because Canadians like to do what they're told, they're hoping that everyone just complies. And then guess what, kids? Once you take your vaccine, like a dumb person that doesn't know any better, they're going to tell you, sorry, the vaccine isn't as effective as we thought it was going to be. So now you still got to wear your mask, still got to get contact trace, still have all the restrictions and social distancing, and still take your vaccine. And then what did you get out of all of this? You got a whole year where you weren't allowed to travel. Your business was closed. They took your rights and freedoms. They forced the vaccine on you. And what happened? The same amount of people died. Everything is the exact same. And now they're going to put you back on lockdown and bring it all the way till July of next year so they can do the same thing again. Bring you from July, August, and September, getting you off lockdown, but just to bring you back on lockdown again. If you idiots haven't figured it out yet, it's a perpetual cycle that you never get out of. And it's a way to take your rights, your freedoms, close your business, take your wealth. Why? So you become dependent on government. Why? If you're independent, the government works for you like it's supposed to. If you depend on the government to give you a paycheck to feed your family every month because they closed your business on you, now the government doesn't work for you. The government rules you. So instead of a middle class, we have the government, upper class, and the lower class dependents that rely on the government to survive. In other words, we have a slave class, and that's what they're trying to do. It's that simple.
Okay, that was done over a year ago by a person, a Canadian, who was voicing their opinion. Every day for the next month, I will share a voice of the voiceless. And ask yourself, how bad is it? Well, if you have had the vaccine and you are injured or maybe a family member killed, it doesn't get any worse. But who's your voice? Let me just bring up the latest statistics as of this morning. And mind you, these are not accurate. The CDC cut their figures in half a week ago. So now the new figures are 11,940 dead. Should be over 30,000 dead. 618,000 injured. That would, at 2% accuracy, then you're looking at 5 million injured. 1,175 unborn babies dead following the vaccine. And yet almost across the board from these millions of victims and thousands upon thousands who've died, the doctors deny, the nurses deny, the hospitals deny, the government denies, everybody's in denial that has anything to do with the vaccine. Of course they deny it. Because if they had to acknowledge this disaster that they're using an experimental agent never before used on humans because they had to rush to get to that market, they had to make the money, and their profits are soaring by tens of billions of dollars. So the New York Times, CNN, do they have a segment talking with the victims who are completely normal, totally healthy? A young guy, 19 years old, gets vaccinated and is dead later in the day? No. No, they don't. It's rather embarrassing that Pacifica has chosen to turn its back on what its original mission was, being a voice for the voiceless. Well, we will be that voice. I will not be intimidated. I will not be silenced. We will allow victims to come forward and share that. The rest of them, well, they've been compromised, unfortunately. And yes, he was right. Everything he said has actually happened. and that was over a year ago by a lay person or someone in the medical field. So now they want to mandate it. Now the governor of New York wants to make it that if someone can't prove that they've been vaccinated with a vaccine card, they don't get to buy anything in your store, come into your restaurant. In fact, all the major cultural venues, which is what makes New York such a wonderful environment, its history of being the mecca of culture in the world. London's great, but nothing compares to New York. And that's one of the reasons I've chosen to be there all these decades. Now, of course, we're told you can't go to a Broadway play unless you can prove you've been vaccinated and then wear a mask. You see where this is going. But how bad is it? Surely in a country that has prospered because of individualism and people working towards common goals, combination of both, look at our highway system. Look at all the wonderful things that we have that improve the quality of our lives because of individuals creating them and then groups of people working together to see that they're achieved. Well, now we're losing that. Everything is supposed to be based upon some collective consensus where governmental agents and corporate masters are the ultimate arbiters of everything that is true. So now they're attacking in the New York Times again yesterday, front page, you know, the people who are the most dangerous in America are the unvaxxed. Really? Where's your science? We have sent a note out to the editor of the New York Times. Come on this program and debate me. Just you and I. And let's let the public know the facts on every aspect that you're saying that an unvaccinated person is a danger to society. Just the opposite is true. It is the vaccinated people who are greater risk of being super spreaders. Who says? The CDC. Oh, really? Let's just go through a few of the things the CDC is saying. For example, the latest thing that I have received over the weekend is information about what the FDA had intended to be for internal use, but now we have a copy of it and I posted it. This is from the CDC. Quote, CDC 2019 coronavirus real-time RT-PCR diagnostic panel for emergency use only. Instructions for use. What does this mean? It means that the government, the CDC, backed by the FDA, allowed the PCR test to be used before they had adequate science to validate its outcome. Again, they had a false test. Now, why is that important? Because just last week, the CDC said they're not using that PCR test. But you've just used it for the last year and a half on hundreds of millions of people in the United States. And by that false negative test, which we've told you all along, it was falsely negative results in the majority of cases, you've put people on different medications. You've quarantined them. You've scared them. What happens when you scare people? Well, more often than not, they're obedient. How obedient? Now, they say that the new variant is really lethal. In point of fact, it is more easily that begins to look at you for not being vaccinated as the enemy. Let's go to an interview that was just done this weekend. And this is a long interview. I'm only going to play you 2 minutes of it to show you what most people think. Now, these are people in California at, I believe it's the Venice Beach, people who, from all walks of life, all ages. And here's what they have to say when they were asked a simple question or to sign a petition so that anyone who is unvaccinated will go to jail. Go to jail. No answer but for you're put in prison if you refuse a vaccine. Here's what the responses were.
Controversy about mandatory vaccinations, and I want to see if Americans are willing to arrest those others who refuse to take this coronavirus vaccine, violating the most fundamental rights of one's personal liberty. You know, a lot of people still haven't taken the vaccine with everything that's going on, so we're trying to mandate the vaccination. We want to start arresting them if they're not going to be taking that.
Are you kidding me?
That's what the petition is for, sir. You don't.
Fascism, man.
Quick, we support mandating the vaccine. A lot of people still refusing to take it, and they're putting the rest of us at risk. So We're going to start mandating the vaccine or start arresting these anti-vaxxers if they're not going to follow the rules. Birth date and a signature. I don't want to hear any of this my body, my choice stuff in today's New World Order. We're gonna put things right.
Absolutely, we all need that.
Thank you. So we're gonna start having them arrested if they refuse.
I agree.
Print birth date signature to incarcerate the anti-vaxxers. I'm not sure what country they think they're living in. Some people are concerned about any possible long-term side effects that haven't shown up in studies yet, but the time to worry about that's in the future. So for now, they can worry about that in jail if they refuse to take the vaccine.
No, I don't want to get close to anybody.
It's time for some firm measures to take care of these people, and you know, they can. Well, it's time to give them a little incentive, and they can think about what they've done sitting in jail until they're ready to take the jab. Thank you. We signed the petition to start arresting these anti-vaxxers that haven't got the vaccine yet.
You want to arrest people for not getting a vaccine?
They're contributing to the Delta variant being spread.
You're a scumbag,
dude. Yeah, just to mandate the vaccine for everybody or to stop the anti-vaxxers, it's time to start arresting them if they refuse.
Okay. He had two people who were offended by the idea, one of them calling it fascism. All the rest gladly signed up. Singles, couples, young, middle-aged, older. The vast majority, 90%, said yes, put them in jail. What does that tell you? What does that tell you about what is happening when people are under false illusions? Who creates our reality for us? Isn't this Germany 1936 with ID cards, exclusion of people who could work in different professions based upon their ethnicity then, but now it's vaccines? We are creating apartheid, vaccine apartheid in the United States. Where are the voices of protest? They're all over Europe. Did you see any of the protests in France where thousands, tens of thousands gathered outside the presidential palace and government buildings, and then the farmers came in and sprayed manure over the entire building? And when it was sprayed on the windows, it broke the windows, so it sprayed all inside. That's the French. When you finally get them angry about something, they go to the streets and they throw the people in power out. In London, a million people protest, not a word on the BBC or the New York Times or any American media. In Germany, 1.3 million people protest, not a word. In the United States, thousands of mainstream physicians and scientists are protesting, risking their reputations, not a word. Not one of them is ever invited on to debate any of the pro-vaccine people. Why not? So that's where we're at. Oh, by the way, also today, quote, FDA accidentally reveals list of COVID vaccine side effects, myocarditis, autoimmune disease, and death. Then it goes on, quote, an FDA slideshow presentation regarding COVID vaccines last year accidentally displayed a long list of possible adverse reactions to the vaccine, including myocarditis, seizures, and even death. Now I have this, and I posted it. You see all the things that people now have, and they knew it. They lied, saying, oh, this was October 22nd, 2020, that this list was prepared. So all along, the FDA knew that a lot of people were going to get sick and a lot of people were going to die. They didn't tell us, because that would have caused some people concern. Well, maybe I shouldn't take this. I've posted that today, so you can read it for yourself. Also today, just a few more things. This is something you have not seen before. This is brand new. Quote, complications from MRI scans for people displaying magnetism after COVID or flu vaccines. Then it goes on to talk about how that the different heavy metals used in the vaccines, these metabolic objects, are now interfering and causing side effects of people who have the MR diagnosis or the CAT scan diagnosis. And it goes into great depth on this. In fact, I wanted to go to see what the government officials are saying, and they have that also. They're saying, have you heard about that? You have not. Well, what if you're sick? What if you need an MRI? What if you need a CAT scan and they can't get a good one because the metal in the vaccines are impacting you? What if you have a pacemaker? The vaccine could, based upon the magnetism of it, adversely affect your pacemaker. If that pacemaker goes off in 60 seconds, you're dead. Any concern? Not a word. Any warnings anywhere? Nothing. Anyone talking with the families of hundreds of thousands of injured, some permanently injured? What about the nurse? You're going to see her. You can watch any of these, by the way, by going to PRN.fm. And all of my notes, everything I talk about, are right there every day, all from peer-reviewed journals. So what about the nurse that got the vaccine and then had to have her both legs amputated at the knees? No, don't want to talk about that. Don't want to talk about things that could make what you're doing seem bad. How bad is it? Well, we believe that it's far worse, but we also believe that they're trying to control this. Fauci's trying to control it because he's a part of it. What do we have now on Fauci we didn't have on Friday? We have five U.S. legislators who demanded non-redacted emails from Anthony Fauci to Peter Daszak, who he was funding and who was at the Wuhan labs. They got them. Wow. Did you know that Anthony Fauci was getting regular communications from top people at the Wuhan lab on gain-of-function research and what they were doing, all their genetic manipulations? No. Not a single media in the United States talked about it. Well, that's a fact, and now we have it. And what about the woman that no media wanted to have on and called her a nut job and a plant? And well, now what she is saying seems to have been true. Before I go to health and nutrition, I want to play this clip of her, because now suddenly what she said then, she's a top scientist at one of the top labs. She's a virologist, and her boss was considered the top virologist in all of China. She's published in peer-reviewed literature. She escaped after she saw the corruption of what was going on and the fact that the Chinese government had been engineering this virus for a long time, multiple viruses at multiple laboratories, not just Wuhan. Nobody wanted to take it seriously, so she stole documents, took them to Hong Kong, got smuggled into the United States, took them to our national health agencies, took them to the FBI. Have you heard a word about the outcome of their research? If she's a phony, expose it. Fine. But what if she's not a phony? What if all the information she shows turns out to be true? That would mean that Anthony Fauci was one of the architects supporting both financially, and there's proof of this support. So why is it he's allowed to go before Congress and lie? No knowledge of funding at all the Wuhan labs gain-of-function research when he was the primary funder and knew all along. The emails show all the communications since 2014. Why isn't that a top story, not a word? So let's hear what she has to say. Okay, no, I'm not going to go to that now. Instead, I want you to call in and give your thoughts on something. Over the years, you've heard me say repeatedly, A, I'm opposed to the war on drugs. It's a fraud. It's just another scheme to make special interest groups rich, to create bureaucracies that do not solve any problem. I felt that we should instead go to the core, why are people taking drugs? Now, I began to do a documentary on this. Mind you, I was head of drug addiction at Trafalgar Hospital for 25 years, so this is something close to me. I helped a lot of people get off all forms of addictive behavior and regain a normal life. But in the process, I also saw the downside of what happens when you weaponize the war on drugs. Do you remember for decades just a small amount of marijuana that you had in your pocket, the police during stop and search asked you to open your pockets? So wasn't it illegal in your pocket, a small amount, but once you showed it publicly, they would arrest you. You'd spend 7 years or more in prison. And when I looked at Obama's book and George Bush's book, and I also looked at Clinton's book, they all, you know, talked about using drugs. But these are also people who put millions of people in prison for using the same drugs or less drugs than what they did. And I just thought that was just hypocritical. We shouldn't have anyone in prison for nonviolent crimes. They should work within their communities. If they have a drug problem, let's get them help. If they have a poverty problem, let's help them. If they're on the streets, let's help them. If they got a mental health issue, let's help them. Let's not then punish them. But no, that's not the way it works. Well, guess who one of the greatest architects of all about drugs was? Joe Biden. Joe Biden believed that you use crack, the very same crack his son is shown. You can watch it. You can see his son on that laptop using crack and cocaine. You'll see him with the prostitutes. That's his business. But isn't it a little hypocritical that what your son is doing and why the media has not touched on that, why the FBI having his computer has not touched on that, selling access to his father, why that display is okay. When here, I'm going to get, Jesse, get up the Joe Biden clip. Because here's what Joe Biden said when he was in Congress. Listen carefully to his words. Then I want you to call in later in the show at 888-874-4888 and tell me, do you believe there's any hypocrisy? And should he still hold that same stand on drug addiction today or using drugs today that he did then? Because he was, along with Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, you did crack. You went to prison for a long time. Your reputation was forever monikered with the idea that you were a convicted felon for drugs. Here's what he had to say. Listen carefully.
I have a piece of crack cocaine, no bigger than this quarter that I'm holding in my hand, $0.0025. We passed a law through the leadership of Senator Thurman and myself and others, a law that says if you're caught with that, you go to jail for 5 years. You get no probation. You get nothing other than 5 years in jail. Judge doesn't have a choice. Under our forfeiture statutes, the government can, take everything you own, everything from your car to your house, your bank account, not merely what they confiscate in terms of the dollars from the transaction that you've just got caught engaging in. They can take everything. I don't care why they become a sociopath. We have an obligation to cordon them off from the rest of society. They are in jail, away from my mother, your husband, our families. So I don't want to ask what made them do this. They must be taken off the street.
Okay. Your mother? How about your son? Same principle apply when you're in power? This is what we're dealing with in our society today. And yet there doesn't seem to be a word to challenge it. What do you think of all these people who are very powerful? But there's a double standard, and I'm just concerned about it. Yeah, I'm very concerned. Because if they can get away with this, what can't they get away with? Seems like they can do anything they want, and there's no holding anyone accountable. Just my thoughts. I'd like to hear yours. 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. Now, normally we would be doing health and nutrition earlier at the beginning of a program, but I had these other issues because these are so important. Because right now, every effort possible by mainstream media to condemn those who have a reasonable and legitimate concern about taking a vaccine, A, because we're seeing the unintended and unstated consequences, millions upon millions of injuries all over the world, hundreds of thousands of deaths all over the world. And yet not a single complaint, not one complaint that they can find in the media. Not one of these victims highlighted in the media to show that they were completely healthy, and now they want to vaccinate your children. Now they want to vaccinate the young people, as if that's okay. Yet all of the science shows the young people are not susceptible. And now they're wanting to go with laws so that you have no choice or prevent you from working. So those are my thoughts. That's why I'm putting a lot of emphasis upon this. And our information is documented from qualified sources. Theirs is not. So I'm writing an article on this called The Corruption of Science. I will have it. It'll be philosophical but practical, probably by the end of the week. Now to the latest on health and healing. A little late, but still important. From the University College London, published in British Medical Journal of Public Health, more than one-third of adults have multiple health problems in midlife. So if they're saying that we are going to be exposed to these variants, which is true, but we don't know yet whether these variants will be more or less deadly. Right now it's less, but easier to infect less. Then wouldn't it make sense to try to have a national program to get people healthy and build up their immune systems so if they are infected, there's little chance of them dying and a lot of chance that they're going to remain healthy because their immune system is strong. And yet we acknowledge that one-third of all adults are sick. They have multiple comorbidities. So you're talking about 120 million Americans, 115 million Americans, more or less, are really susceptible to any kind of flu or cancer, heart disease, or COVID. So here's what this says, quote, more than one in three adults are suffering from two or more chronic health conditions in middle age, such as reoccurring back problems, mental health, high blood pressure, diabetes, high-risk drinking, etc. All right, but what's the solution? The solution is to help these people so that they at least are confronting anything in the environment with a better odds of surviving. From the International Crop Research Institute, published in Frontiers in Nutrition, millet, and I'm a big fan of millet, a millet in the diet lowers the risk of type 2 diabetes and helps manage blood glucose levels. That's good. And millet can take the place of rice. It can take the place of quinoa and take the place of oatmeal in the morning. From Turkey, from the Hacettepe University, the higher dietary total antioxidants and the better your health as you consume these. And what they're finding is many of the youth have higher antioxidant levels than older adults. And that's what they found in Ankara when they did this survey and was looking at a person's diet. Then they analyzed the antioxidants. Remember, it's not just fruits and vegetables. If you had all your vegetables tempura, which is deep fried in oil, they're not healthy. They're highly inflammatory. But if you had fresh fruits and vegetables, clean, meaning without pesticides, grown locally, ideally, then you're going to have a greater antioxidant intake into your body. The more juices you drink that are fresh made, grapefruit, lemon, lime, etc., the better it is for you. So just another study. Also from University of Texas, older adults are happier when their space matches their personality. You all have heard the old saying, home is where the heart is. And that has some new science to back it up. A study has found photos of a person's living space can accurately point at personality traits and the mood of the people who live there, especially as a person gets older. So I think it's important in this one, they took photographs of the rooms where the subject spent the most time, typically their living room, and found that certain characteristics of a person's personality were reflected in core elements of room decor. Applying the findings could help lead to happier lives, including for older adults with fragility or cognitive impairment that have led them to be transferred from their homes to long-term care facilities, which are terrible, in my opinion. In fact, it's one of the projects I'm going to be working on later this year is trying to create the first humanistic feng shui and holistic therapeutic model assisted living center in the world. And working on it because I believe that senior citizens should be able to go into the next stage of their life without just sitting around waiting to die and being distracted by television. So that's what this is finding. This was published in Gerontologist. So just think about if you could have the ideal room to be in or the space to be in or a backyard, what would it be? Then do you have that now? If you don't have it, why don't you? And what will it take for you to have that? What kind of support system do you need? What kind of input do you need in order to have that space? So that's what this is saying. So I believe it's time. And what I'm finding is when people are out in nature, when they're closer to nature, when they're closer to birds and butterflies, when they can walk barefooted in the grass, when they can smell fresh-cut grass and you get all that chlorophyll coming in, and it reminds you of when you were a kid and you were cutting grass on a Saturday, the smells and sensations that stay with us, especially olfactory, walking by a bakery with fresh-baked bread, you smell it. Even if you don't eat bread, you love the smell, right? And so why can't we create environments for ourselves that are rather our ideals instead of simply maladapting to what we have, assuming it can't change? Also from Harvard University comes a study published in the issue of Neurology showing that adding color to your plate can lower the risk of cognitive decline. And so therefore using strawberries and oranges and peppers and apples high in flavonoids can have a 20% lower risk of cognitive decline. That is important. That is good news. We have a lot of flavonoids, flavonones and anthocyanins. So just put color into everything, right? And try like an arugula salad. All right, so you start off with arugula. You wash it. Even if it's a triple wash, don't believe it, that it's really clean. Wash it yourself. Agitate it, rinse, agitate it, rinse, agitate it, rinse. So it's really clean. Spin it. Then do something different. Put in some tangerine pieces, pomegranate seeds, the fresh little herbs. And then use maybe a lemon maple dressing on it. Make your own. You could just take a little fresh maple syrup, put it into a blender with some olive oil, and then blend that up, put a little lemon in it. Now you've got to spray that. And don't pour, spritz your salad dressing, because then it gives a more even taste. So all the leaves are coated, yet it's not soggy. It's not wet. Something to do, and from the Federal University of Icos in Brazil, they said that the daily carotenoid intake lowers your lipid levels and oxidative stress markers, especially in middle-aged men. So there's where your carrots and your peppers, you know, the fruits and vegetables, celery, just have more of it in the diet. Also, we need a higher level of natural killer cell function in our body. That's what scans our body 24/7 looking for tumor cells and killing them. From Chonbuk National University Hospital in South Korea, they found that you can improve your natural killer cell function using seaweeds. Yeah. Nori, laver, L-A-V-E-R. These are rich in immune-enhancing nutrients, and they increase the NK, the natural killer cell activity levels. So make yourself even stronger against cancer using those seaweeds. That's the latest on health and nutrition. We're going to take a break. And when we come back from the break, and by the way, if you miss a show, go to the archives. Our number is 631-359-9463, 631-359-9463. When we come back, we're going to have a little discussion on cell phones, because most people never assume their cell phone could be dangerous. They are all dangerous. So why don't we know this? We will in a moment. Please stay with us.
What could go wrong? The first testing came in the early 90s, triggered by a lawsuit claiming cell phone radiation was responsible for the death of an early user. Dozens of studies, mainly paid for by telecom companies, were launched. The results were troubling. Even the head of the Wireless Technology Research Report, which paid for many of these studies, eventually concluded that the evidence showed an increased risk of brain tumors. This led to that man's credibility being attacked by the industry that hired him. When in doubt, shoot the messenger. Early studies were used by FCC after the fact to set safety standards in the late 1990s for this technology, standards that remain the same today despite radical changes in the technology. It's kind of like the FAA using studies on the Wright brothers' plane to establish safety standards for modern jets. In 1991, second-generation broadband cellular networks, or 2G, were introduced, which allowed for data services, including texting and limited internet access. 3G, which allowed for expanded mobile internet access, fixed wireless internet access, video calls, and mobile TV technologies, was released in 2001. 4G followed in 2008, allowing data speeds up to 1 gigabyte per second. 5G networks, which use closely spaced small cell towers to provide nearly universal coverage and exposure, are currently being built out. Each generation is characterized by new frequency bands, higher data rates, increased radiation exposure, and greater risk. Five generations in, and no one has demonstrated that the technology is even safe. So we don't know how bad it will get, but we know how bad it has been. Since 1990, more than 500 studies have found harmful biologic or health effects from exposure. Though the industry, following the tobacco industry playbook, uses selective studies to muddy the water. The industry hires scientists to conduct research, and they mostly find cell phones are safe. Private studies mostly find that cell phones cause harm. 67% of independent studies have found a biological effect from these technologies. Only 28% of industry-funded studies have. Houston, we have a problem. But the biggest study is ongoing. Since safety hasn't ever been established, we are the experiment that will decide. Early studies looked at 30 to 60 minutes of exposure. Now we average over 5.5 hours on cell phones every day. And with 5G being unleashed with no safety testing and cell towers positioned nearly everywhere, that exposure is going to eventually be nearly constant and with higher concentrations. We are all in the microwave, and the temperature is being ratcheted up. Much like tobacco companies, telecoms are betting that if they are wrong, the money they make now will outweigh the cost of lawsuits for wrongful death that will come later. And whether you know it or not, you are that bet.
Okay. Again, we have more. We have 15 articles we've written, all fully documented and referenced about the dangers of 1G, 2, 3, 4, and 5G. And yet nowhere in the mainstream media, where they're supposed to inform us objectively and honestly, are they showing the dangers of any of this. In fact, they're promoting it and using their forums, television, radio, and the New York Times to entice us to use it without thinking of the consequences. On the line now, we're going to take a call from Sandy from Westchester. Sandy, you're on. Your thoughts, please.
Hi, Gary. I hope you're well. Gary, this issue of drug is so big. I worked in the 70s and 80s with a lot of Vietnam vets, but I worked with a lot of young people. And, it was a whole different game for people like Biden's son than it was for the regular kid on the street. And the treatment, of course, was totally different, meaning rehab. The treatment also with the courts was very different. And a lot of the kids like Biden's son would never have gone through the courts at that time and would have been sent to a spa or a very wonderful setting where the kid could get cleaned up and then could go back and forth, you know, if they decided to experiment some more with the drugs or whatever. Pot, of course, has always been very, very available in the very impoverished neighborhoods. Historically, you know, I remember being a kid and already, you know, smelling it and knowing that it existed in our neighborhoods. I think the whole issue that you mentioned, poverty, it's not by chance, of course. I mean, if you have a terrible educational system in a certain area, if you have, again, politicians that are indifferent to the needs of these kids that are growing up in that impoverished area with a terrible educational system, it's no-brainer that these young kids are going to end up depressed, without jobs, because usually industry, of course, does not, does not cater to, is not concerned with kids who are poor and who have been through a very poor educational system. So therefore, you know, drugs is a good way to sedate. It's a good way to escape, cop out. You know, escaping is very, very important. So what we saw at that time in the 70s and 80s, aside from the Vietnam vets, which had their own terrible agenda of addiction and self-destruction, of course, but the kids were trapped, and they were trapped in this cycle of poverty. And if you can't get a job, Gary, you know, what the hell are you going to do? If there is no industry, you have no skills, you have very little education. I mean, it's like guaranteed at some point along the line, unless somebody comes and pulls you out of that ditch somehow.
Okay, Sandy, you've made several points. Let's break it down. First, I filmed over in Camden, New Jersey. In fact, the police told me not to film there because my camera crew would get assaulted, cameras would be stolen. I said, well, that's where the story is, so we went. We found a person living in a house that had no door. And the reason it had no door is because the gangs would come every night and go in, and if you had any money, they took it. And so I said, well, why are you living here? He said, because I used to be a welder, but there's no work for me at this time, and I've got chronic pain, and the medicines don't work, and the toxic effects of the medicines is suicide. Some of his friends committed suicide. He said, so I come over here from Philadelphia, just across the river, so I can buy heroin, which is inexpensive. So I come here, and I use this place. And he said, but I'm not alone. I know all the people in this neighborhood. They're poor. And this is one way of dealing with the pain, emotional pain or physical pain that they suffer from. But there were no government programs to help them. And that was a problem. And then I spoke with the gang members, and they told me the same thing, that at one time, Camden, like many other cities, including Detroit, et cetera, and were thriving. You had a thriving middle class. There were jobs. They took me around and showed me some of the empty factories, and they were correct. Here's the problem. Knowing that you could buy up companies, move them offshore to China, India, or someplace else, manufacture the products so you didn't have to care about unions, the environment, OSHA, people's health, and you'd have a greater margin of profit, that drove an entire movement in Wall Street. And that was mainly headed by baby boomers. That's, you know, that those are the people that kept saying yes, yes, yes to every corporation that wanted to move, no matter how long they've been in a community. So yes, it was an intentional deindustrialization of America. It wasn't by accident. And so therefore these people were left with no jobs and despair. Separately, it was Eric Haldeman and his buddy in the White House, Haldeman and Ehrlichman, two different people, who counseled the president, and the Watergate tape showed that their intent was to get the drugs into inner cities, especially marijuana to the working class and harder drugs like heroin to the African-American minority classes, so you could get a tough on crime and, in effect, control a whole group of people and control the political dialogue, and hence the tough on crime. And who were the toughest people on crime and welfare? Bill and Hillary Clinton. So why can they go back and get those people's votes today? That's a cognitive disconnect. Or Obama the same way. So understand that this is not by accident this has happened. This is intentional. We should have free clinics in every community in the United States, especially where you have a lot of addictions of different types, and get these people off. And we should hold every pharmaceutical company responsible. Now, Johnson & Johnson just got hit with a $24 billion fine. Will it lower their stock? No. Will anyone go to jail? No. Will anyone's reputation be adversely affected? No. Think how many people committed suicide using their drug. Do they know it? You bet they know it. That's why the big payoff. So you pay enough money, it doesn't matter how many people's death you cause. That's America. And yes, there is a double standard. There's always been a double standard. Not just if you're, you know, a vice president or a congressman's son, because he's had this problem for a long time. But any wealthy person, if your family gets hit, there's a separate way that you can have a fast track out of being in jail. Thank you. But we've got another call up, and we have Lou Ann Panessi, who is on the line with a person. And we've got two things coming up. A, finally getting ready for the premiere of my new film. I haven't premiered a film since the last one I did was a fundraiser for WBAI. And I asked BAI, would they like to do this? And they said yes, but then they never did anything, not unusual. So we went ahead and got the theater, though I am going to be giving some proceeds from this to WBAI to help them out by premiums because they're really stressed right now. But the premiere is going to be on the 18th of this month, a Wednesday night. And it's one of the nicest theaters in New York City. And it's for the film called Last Call for Tomorrow. And that Last Call for Tomorrow is the most winning documentary and what is considered the most important environmental film ever produced. It's won every major film festival you can imagine, hundreds and hundreds. So I'm going to premiere it, and I'll be there. And if you want to join me, write it down, the 18th. I'm going to give you a number, and this number you're going to call in, and you can get your ticket. No tickets will be sold at the theater. Again, no tickets at the theater. So that's one thing. And I couldn't get the largest theater in New York. Sorry about that. But I got what I consider one of the best. And so more information, you'll call this number, 877-627-5065. Now, I'll remind you, every single premiere I've ever done has been packed. If you wait, you will not get in. Okay? This is how it works. So call today. It's only in a little over 2 weeks, 2 weeks and a day, premiering on a Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, Last Call for Tomorrow. Plus, you'll see coming attractions for three additional films that are in the last stages of being complete. One is complete. And I'll be premiering those in the fall. I'll do a standalone premiere in the fall for WBAI. Call 877-627-5065. Now, also coming up, the last 2 weeks of September is a brand new, altogether new program in anti-aging at one of the most beautiful places you've ever been. Luann is on the phone now, and she has someone who's been to one of these to give us a discussion of what it's like. Luann, introduce the person you have with you, please.
Hello, Gary. Yes, we're going to be hearing from Rich Goldberg. He was part of our Retreat and Anti-Aging program. And, you know, I got to tell you, Gary, I get so many calls every day with people stressing out over what's happening in their towns, in the country, all over the world, and people are stressed out. So the timing for this is absolutely perfect because this whole retreat is going to be primarily about slowing it down, refocusing your energy, and reconnecting with who your authentic self in ways that we never did before.
Luann, we have to say goodbye to our BAI audience so they can go to the news, and we'll continue on PRN.FM to the top of the hour. Please continue.
Surely. So we've created an environment here at the Villa that transcends the person, and we've had so many people give us that feedback. We're going to be doing things like drumming circles now. We have someone who does professional drumming circles all over the country, all over the world. And we have chefs coming in that they pride themselves in working with gourmet vegan cuisine. Some people don't think gourmet and vegan go together. Wait till you taste this food. And we have meditation every day. We're having yoga every day. We're going to be having Tai Chi classes. Tai Chi is a moving meditation. People are going to get to sit in the most exquisite gardens that we've ever seen. And very few people know, Gary, that landscape architecture is one of your hobbies, along with comparative religion, but that's another discussion. But the grounds are just phenomenal, and people can just sit any place on the property, and there's a special energy that they feel. That's the feedback we've gotten time and time again. We have a place where we are raising butterflies that they just kind of come out of their cocoons. And while you're sitting there reflecting and relaxing, a little butterfly might just land on you and then go about its business. There's something amazing how connected we are to plants and animals and insects and birds. And we give people that opportunity, sometimes the first time in their lives. So this is a very special time for people to come down. And if people do want to come down, I'll give my number now, and then I'll give it in a couple of minutes. My number is 903-881-7008. That's 903-881-7008. And I interview everybody to make sure it's the right venue for you, because it's not for everybody. It's only for people that are ready to completely let go, relax, and really, really reconnect to an energy that maybe they didn't even think they could access anymore. So we have Rich Goldberg on the line. Rich, I'd love you to share your experiences with us.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity to share. It was only last October that I participated in the anti-aging study and got to enjoy the beautiful surroundings at the retreat. And what was going on in my life back at the start of COVID was I was in a very stressful situation. I was caring for a loved one with a brain tumor. My health was suffering. My blood pressure was through the roof. My digestion wasn't working optimally. I had gained weight, and more than the weight gain was bloated, and just not in an optimal state of health. I made a commitment in April of 2020 to enforce slowdown when I couldn't work as much as I normally did, to rebalance my life and to take on my health in a whole different way than I'd ever had before. And soon after making that commitment, turned on the radio, heard Gary's show, and he was talking about this anti-aging study, and said, how perfect is this that I've made this commitment, and here's this gift being put on a silver platter for me, something I know what I can do on my own, but I can only get limited results with what I already know. But going to a place and working with somebody like Gary and people like Luann, I know there's a whole bunch that I didn't know, and it was the best decision I could have made. The changes I've seen in my life have been remarkable. My weight is down to what my college weight was. I wear the same waist size I wore in college now. My health is optimal. I'm exercising every day. I've taken on the good habits that I was able to develop in the 2 weeks that I was at the retreat in October and maintain them in my life and use it to my benefit. I saw the results happening almost immediately. I saw my body transforming the first week I was at the retreat, and I couldn't believe it. It had taken me 30 years to gain the weight that I'd put on, and I just saw something happening that was miraculous to me, and it was encouraging. I liked what I saw, and it motivated me to keep up and to find out what else I could do to enjoy the new state of mind and the new state of body that I was seeing at the retreat. It was nothing short of remarkable, like I said, and I couldn't be more thankful. Actually, for me to take 2 weeks out of my busy schedule, I'm a workaholic, was a big stumbling block for me. And once I committed to it, I got more than I could have expected in that two-week period of time, and I actually came back and helped on staff at the next anti-aging study. So 4.5 weeks, I hadn't taken a vacation in 10 years, and I devoted 4.5 weeks to be at the retreat in Dallas and outside of Dallas. And once again, it was the best decision of my life, and the things I saw while I was there, I told you what results I produced, some of the results I produced for myself, but also encountered people who were struggling. When I was on staff in April, a woman that looked beautiful and had a, seemed to have a very positive outlook. But I know when she had her one-on-one session with Luann, she shared with her that she's been in so much pain that she was ready to, give up on life, that she just couldn't bear the pain she was in constantly. She had tried everything and was still suffering. And Luann made a suggestion to her. She went and saw somebody. She thought she had tried everything. Luann said, well, try this one thing. And she came back. That was the same day or the next day that she went to seek help and came back and felt so much better after one treatment and continued. She wound up staying, instead of the 2 weeks she intended, 4 weeks at the retreat, and she has a different life today. And I know there are people out there now who have been thinking about going to the retreat and just they might have a reason or an excuse for not putting themselves in it. But you, if you're suffering from anxiety, from depression, from a lack of vitality, you need to be at this retreat. The staff is second to none. You can only produce the results you can produce on your own, and you're probably suffering as a result of still trying to treat yourself. But with a support team in place there, whatever the reasons and excuses give Lee that you're not going to commit to it, call Luann. Just talk to her. See what's possible. You don't want to limit yourself. That's how I was living my life, with limits, and I took the shackles off myself, and now anything is possible in my life, and I challenge you to cause those same effects for yourself.
Phone number, please.
903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. Give me a call. I interview everybody, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. Now, Utrice Lead.